It reads like a paragraph from Little House on the Prairie. When I was a boy living in Cushendall, every November a neighbour came round selling poppies to raise money for the British Legion. Every year my mother made a contribution and took a poppy. It was the sort of cross-community exchange, though we didn't think of it as such, that helped make the Glens of Antrim a welcoming place for everyone. There were limits, however, to the gesture. The poppy sat where it was placed. I don't remember anyone ever wearing it. That's not surprising. As far as I'm concerned, no one in our family ever served in the Crown Forces, apart from a great uncle who was a member of the Royal Irish Constabulary. I don't state that with pride or shame. It's just a matter of fact. The man who's written that on Slugger O'Toole later became a journalist and joined us at UTV, and he's on the line, Jamie De Largy. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, Jamie. Now, of all the people to raise an issue about the poppy a month out or so, or even 2 months out from the big event, I would never have expected you to have had an opinion. But then again, I should have, because I would have been aware of you as a journalist occasionally on screen when I was on screen with you, and you would have been reporting, say, from a factory, and you wouldn't have appeared in vision that week. You would have done it all on voiceover, so as you didn't have to make a decision about the poppy. Is that fair commentary?
That is absolutely fair, yeah. As you just explained with that the quotation from that article, I don't come from a poppy wearing tradition. I respect it, but I don't come from that tradition. And so I'm very conscious, as is everybody who's a broadcaster on television, is that you wear a poppy and you please one section of the viewers and you annoy another section. So what I did was I tried as far as possible not to appear on vision when the poppy wearing was appropriate. I mean, at that time of the year, and I basically, if you like, got away with juking and dodging for quite a bit. I'm not saying this is very courageous, but that's how I handled it, as it were.
Yeah, and then the situation changed where you were studio-based, so you were going to be caught in, if you use the term from Florida, the eye of the storm. You were going to be in the studio during that week, so you had to either wear it or not wear it, and you did begin to wear it. And I'm asking you here as a someone hosting a radio program, but I was also in the same position. I joined UTV way back, maybe just shortly after you, and the option was there to wear the poppy, and I wore it every time. I never dodged it. I wore it every single time I appeared on the screen. You eventually were in the studio, and you made a decision to wear it. Why did you decide to wear it? Because I should point out, UTV didn't have a rule. You had a choice.
That's correct. Absolutely. You had a choice. There was no, you weren't being forced to wear a poppy. You weren't being forced not to wear the poppy. It was entirely up to the individual. And as I say, my solution was just to avoid it. But at a certain time, you can run, but you can't hide. So in the studio, someone said to me, "Look, Jamie, do you realise you're not wearing a poppy?" And I was going to say, yes, I do realise that, but that's because I've taken the decision not to wear a poppy unless I can avoid the situation. And I didn't say that. What I did was, I didn't say a thing. I looked up and I caught sight of a couple of guys who turn out to, as it happens, were from a Protestant background, who'd done me favours over the years, and I'd done them favours. And I thought to myself, do you know what? These guys would like me to make a wee gesture and wear a poppy. They didn't say a thing. There was no atmosphere. I just want to make that clear. There's no atmosphere in the studio. I just thought, do you know, what is my problem? I respect this. Okay, it's not part of my tradition. Why can't I just put on the poppy? I've been not silly about it, but am I making too much of this? And I thought, I'll just make a small gesture. And it wasn't a sort of a cross-community thing. It was just like, these guys would like me to wear the poppy. There are probably plenty more in the station. Actually, there's probably people out there who would like me to wear it. Why just don't I wear it? And from that moment, so at that point, I said, look, can somebody bring me a poppy from the makeup room? I put it on, and from then on, at the appropriate time, I would wear a poppy. And no, I wouldn't dodge out of appearing in studio or whatever to try and avoid it. I just wore it. I just then did as everybody else who probably in that situation who was wearing a poppy did. I acted probably the way that you did in that sense. But the point of it isn't actually, and I know, you know, because you've read the article, the point of it isn't really about poppy wearing. I'm not really taking a stance and saying people should wear, broadcasters should wear poppies and broadcasters should do this and they should do that. What I was really saying was, it was looking at why I changed my mind, and that's really the core of the article. And the core of the thing was, nobody was preaching at me. Nobody was telling me, you've got to do it. This is what we expect from you. You're insulting our tradition if you don't wear it. You're a traitor to our tradition if you do wear it. And that's why I said, it was the silence of my colleagues was more eloquent than anything anybody might have said to me. So I'm making a point about, that's actually how people change their minds. They don't change it by people guldering and shouting and demanding rights and saying, look, we have our tradition that requires us to do this and you should be doing the same and you're insulting us. And that sort of thing just gets people's backs up. And I just thought, that's what determines the course of local politics. Everybody, if you have a proposal, and we don't have to go too far to think of various proposals that are on the table at the moment. What you do is you say, it's our right to have this. It's our right. It's part of our tradition to have this. We demand it. And then you go on to phone-in programs like yourself, like yours, and they row about it. And then everybody's backs up. And it's not a matter of the rights and wrongs and whatever. It's like, at that point, the game is lost. And then I instanced what happened down south with you were talking about that earlier discussion, the same-sex marriage. Down south, those campaigners for same-sex marriage played it very carefully, because what they did was they didn't stress rights. What they said was, look, do you see this? Have you got a friend or a relation, or is anybody you know who's gay? Do you not think they would like to have the opportunity to get married the way you did? Well, what's your problem? Why didn't you do it? So, in other words, it was done on a personal level. And our politics is never done on a personal level. And I was saying that my experience was on a personal level. Mm-hmm. You know, I changed my mind not because somebody was thundering in my ear, which wouldn't have changed my mind one iota, but it was done in that sense. And I think in our politics, dearly needs a complete change of heart, where we stop the guldering, we stop the shouting, and we say, we just be nice to each other, and be a bit more civil, and maybe things would get done. If you might just think, oh right, somebody's asking me for this, but they're not insisting that I give it to them. They're saying, look, it would be nice if you could consider doing this because I feel very good about it, and you're in a position to do it. Would you mind, please?
You see, people are very civil in here, and have been for the 30-odd years that you and I have been in this building. So I'm not surprised at the way you are describing it there. Do you think if that civil nature was introduced maybe about the Easter lily, would we start wearing it?
Well, all these emblems look, frankly, I haven't given any thought particularly to the Easter lily. I've never worn an Easter lily. I've never felt any huge need to wear one, and I wouldn't want to give an off-the-cuff reaction to it, because I just haven't considered it. It's not that you're not entitled to ask me the question. It's not that I maybe shouldn't have an opinion, but I wouldn't want to. Unlike the poppy, unlike the other emblem where we were sort of I suppose invited to wear with the shamrock. And I actually, because I never seemed to work St. Patrick's Day, never wore the shamrock. But so in terms of the Easter lily, you'd have to start thinking about what was the background to the thing about for me with the poppy was, and this is just someone who actually, it's more important to me the fact that I'm from the left, and the left has always had an issue about whether the poppy was commemorating or was it in any way glorifying war. And so that was the issue, that was part of the thinking that goes through, and that's not just Northern Ireland, that's right throughout the UK. I mean, that you would have someone like Jeremy Corbyn talking about that. So I'm I've thought about the poppy. I haven't thought about the Easter lily, and so I just would rather not give an opinion off the top of my head.
Jimmy, it is a perfect answer, if you don't mind me saying, because the reason that I bring it up is if we started to have the conversation about the Easter lily, it wouldn't be in the tone that you're trying to promote, that civil tone. If there's a genuine conversation about the future wearing of the Easter lily on public broadcasts, there would be rioting in the street. And that's a reminder of where we are in Northern Ireland, isn't it?
Well, exactly. I mean, whether these certain things should be done really as should be, you know, there's a danger of me sounding preachy, but it's all right to demand rights. It's all right to say my tradition requires it. But the fact of the matter is that usually requires a concession from somebody else who doesn't really believe to the same extent in your right or in your tradition. And then once you're, it's almost like an argument that once you've made it, nobody can really attack it because it's my right and it's my tradition and you can't say anything to take that away from me. And therefore, I'm not in the least interested in anything you might have to say unless you're agreeing with me. And it's a very sterile debate. And so much of the discussion in political discussion is like that. It's almost like you get something comes into the public arena and then we have to really decide, is this something that's going to really benefit Catholics or is it one going to be, well, I'm not happy about that. Or is it going to be a person, well, I'm not happy about that and I really could, this is right. No, there's, you know, and it just gets, it gets, you just get a few people who get on and they characterise it in a particular way and then there's no possibility of agreement. We're stuck now. We're not moving in anything. And you know, callers are talking about that early in the discussion you had about the Nuala McAllister's actions or non-actions in the City Hall. The fact of the matter is there's so much needs to happen here and we're stuck. And in a sense, you can see why we're stuck because we don't discuss really. Nobody really discusses anything. Nobody ever changed their mind about any subject that has come up in recent times. It's just been people have used various arguments to bolster their position. Really, they're only speaking to their own, they're preaching to their own faithful. Nobody even tries to make an attempt to win anybody over. It's just everybody's feeling indignant about everything. Everything that anybody sees, they feel terribly insulted or annoyed or frustrated. And you think, well, maybe they are, but that's not going to win friends. I'm almost like talking tactics here. It's not going to win anybody over. It's just going to leave everybody where they are. And it's now happened with a series of issues that should be calmly and quietly worked out and compromises drawn. And, well, if you want that, well, that's fair enough. I can understand it. But I want this, and let's talk about it. But nothing happens. It's and nothing will happen if we continue in this way.
It's a good article. Would you be available? And, you know, I know this is a bit flippant, the question, but there'd be people thinking it. You know, if they were looking for an independent arbitrator at Stormont, would you consider it?
Look. I don't think anybody is. I know if there's a vacancy, certainly I would be interested in sort of with other people helping out, because you do think because our position privileges us, you know, Frank, and you've got that understanding because you it's part of your job. Was always part of my job to try and understand everybody's point of view. The politician, if you're a politician, you don't have to understand anybody else's point of view because those people don't vote for you. You only have to sort of sell the same message to your followers and to make sure that, you know, you're defending their interests. You don't have to pretend. But with journalists, we have to try, and we all come from certain traditions, and everybody comes from a particular one. But we all—it's part of our day and day-to-day duty—is to try and understand what other people think, and that does put us in a slightly better position than other people in trying to, you know, saying, well, look, why can't you do this, or could this not be an option, or, you know, you have to see it. These people do feel very strongly about this, and they feel very sensitive. We can perhaps see this because of our training. But whether I'd be the right person, I don't know.
Jimmy, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. Slugger O'Toole's website if you want to read the whole article. Thanks, Jimmy. Thank you. Jimmy DeLargy, interesting points. You should read it. And that man could be an arbitrator, actually, in almost any circumstances. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in.